You're listening to Less Stress in Life with hosts Deb Timmerman and Barb Fletcher. We believe life with less stress and more energy is possible with the right tools, strategies, and knowledge. So we bring you real conversations around the stress of relationships, money, and the daily hassles of life with guests that will inspire, challenge, entertain, and motivate you to take action.
Hi, I'm Deb Timmerman.
And I'm Barb Fletcher. And we're here today with Connie Graff from Chaos to Peace, and we're thrilled to have her with us. Connie Graff is helping people work from home, declutter their homes, offices, files, and finances. Working from home since 1998, and as a highly sensitive person, she knows how important and beneficial a supportive, clutter-free environment is. It's the stagnant energies that accumulate around clutter that can make you feel drained and stuck in life. Clearing them helps free up your energy, brings you more clarity, and helps you get unstuck and your life moving again. Connie helps her clients tidy and organize their belongings, files, and finances. But more importantly, she helps them develop habits and systems that prevent any kind of clutter from creeping back in. Move from chaos to peace with Connie, a Swiss certified specialist in finance and accounting and a clutter clearing coach. Welcome, Connie.
Well, thank you very much, Deb and Barbara. That was a really nice introduction.
How did you become a clutter coach, Connie? How did you went from finance to doing something totally different? What was the journey?
Yeah, so in my eyes, it's not something totally different. And to your surprise, maybe, I didn't start with finance. I started with decluttering. So I was one of these weird children who I had my own room growing up, but it was like basically a broom closet. It was so tiny. And I would constantly rearrange furniture. I would constantly declutter. I would constantly see, because I felt on me the effect of the environment. So I would constantly rearrange everything. And I would help my friends too sometimes to help, because they would say, well, Connie, you know better. And how could I do this in my room? So I actually started with that. But when I then came to the age to pick a profession, that was not really something that was available to pick. So that didn't exist back then where I was living. And so I started in the insurance business of all places and slid from there into finance. It just turned out that I'm really good with numbers. And so I kind of slid into that. And you say this is completely different to decluttering, but it is not. Like, what I helped my clients then was making, putting order into their chaos of finances. So it's basically also decluttering and organizing. It's just numbers and finances. And what I noticed was too, is like when I would go to clients and help them with their finances, I would automatically kind of also help them with their clutter in their office and in their files and in their filing systems and in their processes. And it's kind of like it all evolved naturally. So that's how it happened.
Wow, that's wonderful. I know that when my numbers are not in order, and in Canada, we're approaching tax time, and if those things aren't sorted out, that creates stress inside of me, and it can weigh you down, can't it?
It totally weighs you down. And what a lot of people have kind of like an aversion almost against numbers and finances and taxes. And hey, I don't like taxes either. But what I'm trying to do is not making it even harder on myself. And a lot, if you having this aversion and you're not doing anything like a lot of people do, and then like you said, tax season is approaching. We're all starting to get more and more anxious about it. We're making our life really harder. And that's actually my my wish and what I'm trying to convey is that we can actually have less stress also with finances and taxes. We all have to pay taxes. There's no way around it. So why make it even harder on ourselves? So try to make it easier on yourself, you know.
I'm kind of chuckling internally because there was a time in my life that I threw all my receipts in a box all year long. And then I choose that one or two days to organize them all. And I'm having like flashbacks with my ex-husband of yelling at each other because it was so stressful to figure out and remember, and you can't find things. Mm-hmm. And it is really difficult. It becomes so overwhelming when you have to do that all in such a big fashion that stress chemicals flow. So it's interesting that you point out this piece about organization, and I'm kind of reading between the lines here. Did I hear you talk about habits without mentioning?
Yes. Yes, we're all creatures of habit, no? I mean, our subconscious mind is all habits. And like scientists explain that often, like if we wouldn't be creatures of habit, we would have to pay attention that we are breathing. We would have to pay attention that we digest food. We would have to pay attention to so many things, but we don't, because our subconscious mind is taking care of that for us because it knows how to do it. It's habits, you know. And then the habits that we do have control over or not, you know, like they're a little bit more in the forefront. So like we don't have to pay attention to breathing and all that, but there is other things that we do have to pay attention to. Otherwise, we're just, I don't know, sleeping through life, you know. And so if you notice you have habits that are not serving you or that create a stressful life, like, for example, you're just throwing all the receipts in a box and then spending 2 days yelling at your husband and being upset and not sleeping and being completely bent out of shape to get to the point that you can turn your taxes in, that is maybe a habit that we want to examine and see whether we could make our life a little easier and come up with a different habit. Now, there's a whole science about how you change a bad habit into a good habit. And I mean, bad with air quotes, you know, because I think like sometimes it's hard to just decide what is bad and what is good. It's just, does it serve me or not? Like, and it obviously didn't serve you because it was really stressful. And so if we look from the stress level here, and I think that's always a good thing. So how do we feel about it? And if we don't feel good about it, then let's find a better way. And we all can't decide, okay, I just don't pay taxes. That doesn't make us feel better because eventually it's going to catch up. So we have to, there's a circumstance, we have to pay taxes and we have to have certain things ready for these taxes. But so how can I make it easier for myself and less stressful? What are the habits that I need to establish or starting to implement or change to get to a less stressful result, you know? And yes, it's all about habit.
I guess I do a bit of self-reflection when I feel that unease or that stress from whatever to try and understand, why am I holding on to that behavior? How is that continuing to serve me? And I know that, you know, it's all kinds of reasons. You know, it could be fear, it could be anxiety, it's a series of emotions. And for me, it's almost a profound relief when you actually get to the other side. And you say to yourself, and I mean, I'm sure there are many people that say, I'm never going to let that happen again. I am going to be regular. I'm going to make that a habit. And yet we find ourselves slipping because we've had that quick hit from relief. And then we slide back into the old behavior. And I know that kind of your realm and your expertise takes us beyond numbers and tax, and you actually help people inside their houses. What do you see when it comes to people accumulating lots of material things, you know, to perhaps compensate for something else?
That's totally what it is. Compensating for something else or coping with something that they don't want to face, you know, and this is generalized, you know, like every situation is different, but we can, science, and there is a university that study people that do have trouble with clutter, and we understand way more now. But it's oftentimes, it's like some fear or anxiety or some emotion that we classify as negative and scary tries to show up in our life. Maybe we were not content with our life. Maybe we're not content with our relationship or our business or our numbers, our finances or whatever. Mm-hmm. And instead of addressing this and actually dealing with this, we're trying to patch it up with something, short-term relief, short-term satisfaction. So then some people go out and buy. We call that retail therapy, no, like lovingly. We go out and buy something. Then you have this short-term happiness, possibly, depending on what you're buying, or just good feeling. But you haven't addressed the underlying reasons why you didn't feel good in the first place. Other people, like, I always compare it with eating too. It's like some people go buy stuff, other people start eating when they're feeling stressed or when they're feeling anxious or when they're not willing to address the core issue, then they start eating, others go start buying. And the people who go start buying, that's then usually the ones who end up with a lot of stuff in their home and more stuff. And because they're not dealing or wanting to deal with their issues, then they're also never dealing with trying to figure out again, is this item really, does it have any meaning in my life? Do I really need it? Do I really want it? Do I really use it? They're just trying to avoid all this. Like it's kind of like an avoidance, which is a protection mechanism. And then they're avoiding more and more. And then that's how the house fills up more and more. And the more you have, the scarier and overwhelming it becomes to have to actually deal with the things. So that's kind of like, and I always say it's like, it's a little bit different. Like I started with helping people with office clutter. There's a lot of emotions attached to numbers and paper is a huge emotional thing, but it's still a little bit different than when you have just household clutter. Like oftentimes people have stuff inherited from people who passed on, family members who passed on, or it was given to them as a gift and they feel like they need to keep it. So it's a little bit of a different thing, but in the end, it's always what we don't want to deal with. We don't want to deal with the elephant in the room. So we're trying to, some people say it a little rude and say, we want to try to put whipped cream on poop, you know, or something like that. It's like not dealing with, instead of moving the poop, we're putting whipped cream on it. So yeah, it's a little gross example, but I think it puts it really gets the point across what you're actually doing. And eventually this whole thing will catch up and you make your life more stressful. Just like Deb with throwing the receipts in the box, it's a short-term relief. I don't have to deal with it. I just throw it in there. But then eventually it catches up and then it becomes such a bigger issue that you have to deal with that is way more stressful than if you would get into a place where you actually dealt with the situations and emotions when they actually show up, when they're still small instead of when they're dinosaur size.
And that leads to other stressors too, because as I'm hearing you describe this shopping and retail therapy, it transports me back to 30 years ago when I very much used retail therapy. And then those credit card bills come. Yes. Then you got to justify that with your partner or not. And that starts
or hide it.
And that starts this whole cycle of becoming even more. And many times when people come to Barb and I, that's exactly what it is. They're to the point where they're so overwhelmed, and it might be their environment has a component, money has a component, relationships have a component. So there's a big carryover in terms of how this shows up in your external environment, but also how it shows up in your internal environment. And I love your process in the name of your business, because from chaos to peace, That is so descriptive of what it feels like inside to not know where to go. There's just this feeling of discontent and dis-ease, and then you start beating yourself up, and it's like the hamster wheel starts and you cannot get off.
Yeah, that's usually, so it's a vicious cycle. So I always say, like, everything starts with mental clutter. So we don't want to deal with it. So we're running out, then we're getting physical clutter. And then the surroundings are heavy on us. So that creates emotional and, again, mental clutter. Then we start beating ourselves up, which creates even more mental and emotional clutter. And then it may end up that we're going and buying something again because we're so feeling so bad about ourselves. So it's really a vicious cycle that somewhere we have to put a wedge in and start acting differently, start changing that habit of being in this, just spinning out of control in this.
So how do you pick the point of where to start? And if you were working with someone who's listening to the podcast, what one recommendation or what's the picking point that you start chipping away at this? Because obviously you can't fix everything overnight, right?
I mean, yeah, no, even you have though to people want it. Yeah, the thing is people want to change overnight, forgetting that they couldn't handle the change that would happen overnight. Like you can't change from this to being, I don't know, let's go to the extreme and saying we're minimalist. Like, you know, these shows where these people go in and clean out the houses of hoarders and then they put them back into this beautiful space. I'm so feeling so sorry for these people because they can't handle it because there was a reason why they had all these things. These things were kind of like a buffer for themselves. It was a buffer to not have to deal with these emotions. So we can't just go and take this all away. That's way too much to focus on. So where I always, when somebody comes to me, it all depends whether it's office or household. And obviously it depends on the person too. So that's why I often say there is no one fits all thing. But if we wanted to go and say to kind of like a one fit all principle, and I'm very animate. I don't have rules. I have principles. And if I want to go to a one fits all principle is start small, ridiculously small. Most people think they can do way too much and they underestimate how much emotions and mental craziness shows up when they do start the process. So start small and start in the least emotional area of yourself. Like, I don't know. And that could be very individual to the person too. So I usually say start in a bathroom somewhere, like clean the counter there, or just get into the motion of starting to create some peace around you, but start with less emotionally charged things. Most people try to, my biggest problem is, and then they want to start there. And it's like trying to run a marathon when you never even walked around the block. So it's not possible. And then also short. That's why I say one of my sayings is always a few minutes a day keeps the chaos away, because you do just a few minutes, as long as it still feels okay. That I always say, like, if you feel exhausted and tired and ornery after decluttering, you did too long, too much, you overdid it. You need to get the benefit and to actually continuously doing it. You want to feel lighter afterwards. You want to feel better afterwards. You want to feel like, oh, this really made a difference now. I feel good. And you can have that with doing something very small in 5 or 10 minutes. And if you start doing this on a regular basis, you have several advantages. One is, like I said, you never overdo it, because the minute you start overdoing it, you become so rebellious and resistant against it again that you're not going to do anything for the next, I don't know how many weeks, you know, and then it's actually counterproductive. So if you do just a little bit, it may go slower. You may think it goes slower, your organization process, but it actually goes faster because you're actually doing something every day instead of doing something for 3 hours and then not doing anything for 3 months. So it just looks in the beginning as smaller or slower, but it is actually faster. And the second advantage is, while you're doing just a little bit every day and you're starting again, how can I make this whole thing easier for me? And by making it easier, you go start where it's easier and not where it's really hard. You train your decluttering muscle, how I call it. I always put my arm up and say, we train our decluttering muscle, you know? And at the same time, you're starting to create habits, positive habits. And sometimes it's easier to just create a good new habit instead of trying to fight an old habit. So maybe we just leave this old habit for now, but we're trying to create a new habit. So if we can get to this point where we every day do a little bit as a good habit, eventually you will feel the good effects on you, and then it will start spreading out, and it will have a positive effect. So that's basically what I always say. So it's start small, start in the least emotional area. You have to give yourself some grace too, that you have to learn it first. Like I said, you wouldn't run a marathon if you have never even walked around the block in the last, I don't know, 10 years or whatever.
Oh my, so much wisdom in all that you've just shared, Connie. I've taken all kinds of notes and tidbits, and I love that you talk about how clutter, everything belongs, everything begins as mental clutter, and moves to emotional and then physical. And I think that if that one notion, people understood that, because people try and solve this starting at the bottom. They start with the physical, and they think that as long as they fix the physical, everything else will be fine. And we know that there's a little more to it than that. But that's so valuable.
When you can start with, so I always say, like, as within, so without. So I have this saying, like, from Hermes. He says, as above, so below, as within, so without, as the universe, so the soul. So you can't just take care of the outside and think it has an effect on the inside. And when you change on the inside, it has an effect on the outside. So it's like it plays together. So that's why I'm saying, when you start with things that are not so emotionally charged, you start on the outside kind of, but you're not. It's always like both, you know? And so, but by starting with something that is not so emotional, you can handle it on the inside better, which builds your muscle on the inside too, to deal then with the things that are more emotional. And then you, when you change on the inside and you're starting to actually really examining your thoughts and your feelings around these things, and why do I have so much trouble letting it go, then you're more likely to let things go. And it's like peeling onions. So it's like, it's not like you get there overnight, and you could cry, just like when you peel an onion, you could cry, because the suppressed emotions will finally be able to come out. And that's also where we feel the release afterwards, because we're not trying to keep them down. Somebody I heard once saying, and I wish I would remember who, he said, it's like having, in the pool, having a ball full of air, trying to keep that ball under the water. And you can do that, but it's very, very exhausting to keep this ball underwater. And if you just stop paying attention, it comes up, and you know how it jumps up in the air. And that's when we have these yelling contests with spouses or other outbursts of energy. That's all energy or emotions that are suppressed. And when we're actually learning to deal with them when they're still small, and that's why I'm saying you take items that are not emotionally charged and start there with decluttering, you learn how to deal with these, and then we're going up and up and becoming stronger and stronger in our decluttering muscle. And then the inside changes, your mental surroundings or environment changes. You start to clue off why you have certain things. You catch yourself having maybe negative thoughts around something. And then because you learned how to deal with that, then you don't need to go out and buy a new dress, even though you have 20 in the closet that you have never even worn yet, you know?
This is a hard process for some people.
Yes.
If folks want to have a little help strengthening their declutter muscle and they would like to have a consultation with you, where do they find you?
Well, the best place for everything is on my website, and my website is just conniegraf.com. I write Connie with a Y, so it's CONNYGRAF.com. You find everything there. I have lots of free resources. I have, like you said before, I have a podcast where I talk about this, and I have lots of conversations with people who went through processes of decluttering, whether it's mental, emotional, or physical clutter. And I also offer a free consultation where we can just talk and hear what the issues are and how I could help. So it's all found on my website. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you look in the show notes on the underneath the podcast, the link to Connie's website is there. You just simply click. So it's Connie, CONNYGRAF.com. We are so thankful that you spent this time with us today talking about moving from chaos to peace. Any closing thoughts, Barb?
No, I have a page of notes that I'm going to reflect on.
So I'll just close by one of the things that I wrote down, and that is a few minutes a day keeps the chaos away. What a great way to end this session. We hope you'll join us next time. Thank you.
Less stress in life is possible. If you're new to this kind of thinking and would like to explore what's possible for you, we'd love to connect. You can reach us through our website at lessstressinlife.com. That's lessstressinlife.com.